are joined now by Jerry DePoto from down at the ballpark. And Jerry, it's a disappointing day for a lot of different people. What was your reaction to the news of the suspension?
You hit it with your first word, disappointment, really discouraged. And I think at the end of the day, like you do with everything else, is you find a way to twist it into a positive outcome. And, you know, this is a tough one, at least, you know, socially, something we don't want to deal with, and privately something we have to. So we've got a 25-man club. We think we have a good club. And now over the next 3 months, we're going to have to create solutions. And today was a day for figuring out what they might be.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you, Jerry, what's your next move? I know it hasn't been very much time that you've known about this, but we were just speculating as to whether, because D. Gordon seems to be developing really nicely in center field, but I feel like he can pretty smoothly come in and pick up second base pretty quickly.
He's such a gifted athlete, and I agree with your opinion. He has, especially over the course of the last 2-3 weeks, has really made great strides in center field. And when on Sunday, when Robinson was hit in the hand and it was first estimated that he would be out for, we thought 2 to 4 weeks with the hand injury, our first instinct was, all right, we're not going to sit down and talk to D about moving to second base. We'll do more harm than good by taking him away from that development in center field, which we feel like has generally been better and better every day. But now we're talking about, you know, 80 days or more. That's a different story. And, you know, we did sit down with D this afternoon, Scott and I, and talk to him. And like has been the case with D on any other occasion, he wants to do the right thing for the team. And he went out today, took some ground balls, and we've not yet determined a timeline or the permanence of it. But we talked to D about acclimating to second base, taking his ground balls, working at the bag, and hopefully over the next 3-4 days we can determine when he might be able to get out there and take some game reps.
You got Heredia on the roster as an option for center field, but a lot of speculation, I guess, by us and others that you'll be looking for another outfielder, Jerry. Is it easier to find an outfielder than another second baseman? Does that enter into it?
It's not easy to find anybody, especially in May. It's really, I think I've mentioned it to you guys before, May is a very difficult month to make trades because so many teams are still trying to figure out where they are prior to Memorial Day. And I think in this particular instance, there are more teams involved in competitive races than there will be in 2 months. So May is a tough time. That being said, there are enough teams that you might be able to engage, and outfield does seem to be a little bit more a readily available surplus around the league than second base. And I the one thing I do know is we can go out and somewhere, whether internally or otherwise, find outfield solutions that can help us get the ball across the court between now and August. We will not be able to go out and find a better second baseman than D. Gordon. So if we can answer one question internally, then it provides only one more to answer rather than have to go into the heart of the summer with more than one to answer.
We're talking to Jerry DePoto here, Mariners general manager, and I don't want this to come across crass because we're talking about a guy's reputation and all those things, but there's also a financial element. Does the fact that he'll be suspended 80 games, does it change the budget you guys have to work with?
Probably doesn't change our budget, so to speak, but it certainly changes the potentially available dollars within that budget. And, you know, that's a real thing here, and certainly something that over the course of the last 20 or so hours since I found out that this was something we were going to be dealing with today, that has been a consideration. And, you know, I don't know how much or what benefit that will provide us in May, but I do believe that at some point we have a great ownership group who have been committed to this team from the day I got here and have made commitments to move forward with this club, and I have no doubt that if we can find the right solution and it costs us, you know, some of those dollars, that we'll be able to reinvest it in that area.
One of the other things, Jerry, is that at PED suspensions and these sort of things have happened in the game. How have you seen players generally respond after they are flagged or end up missing time because of one of those suspensions?
Well, you know, we have, fairly or unfairly, and I don't want to drag, you know, bones out of closets, but we have two great examples of players who turned it into a positive career growth moment, including, you know, Dee Gordon and Nelson Cruz. They've lived through this, and I think that's and I would say they are two of the most positive impacts in our clubhouse day in and day out. The energy they bring, the character they bring. You know, this is a mistake. Robinson made a mistake. Other players have made mistakes, and I think Robbie, if he were here to talk to you, and what he has shared with me is, you know, to summarize, he wishes he would have read the small print. He made a mistake. He understands that's cause for suspension. He accepts that and wants to move forward and do the right thing for this team. And he has two great examples in our own clubhouse of players who have taken that and used it as a galvanizing moment for that club or to propel their team forward.
I get the sense that it's harder and harder every year to check those kinds of things. I mean, we see players getting busted for it or tested for it, and it seems like it's such a long list, and that these guys, they have to work pretty hard to keep up with what is. And this may sound like a naive question, but I do feel like, man, I'm glad that kind of stuff wasn't in play when I was playing, because, you know, sometimes cold medicine, things like that, it just seems like it's a bigger and bigger chore every year for players to stay on the right side of that.
Well, it definitely is. The one thing that I can't support is just not knowing. And, you know, I would be lying to you if I told you what was on the list of every banned substance in Major League Baseball or any other sports organization. But just like the players, we as an organization, we have the ability to check into that. And you should. And I think that's the lesson to be learned here is you've got to be careful with what you're putting in your body and understand that there's potential for negative ramifications. And it has hit us. It's hit us as a baseball team. It's hit the Mariners organization and family. It's hit Robinson Cano and his family. And, you know, valuable lesson learned. Unfortunately, we're all going to have to pay a stiff penalty.
Jerry, you mentioned that sort of the how it affects and what it does to a franchise. How do you guys sort of manage that in general? Not Robinson Cano specifically, but the educating players and trying to prevent things like this from happening. How do you handle that as a GM?
Well, we have programs that we start at the grassroots levels of the minor leagues, and we do our best to educate our young players as to the first, the perils of using performance enhancing drugs of any kind, and just general drug use. It's something we take a lot of time in investing in speaking with our young players. There's only so much you can do. We can't give them a list to keep folded in their back pocket to check each time they put something in their body. That's an unrealistic expectation. But what we can do is put them in a position where they've thought about it before they go into that moment. So when they're visiting the doctor, when they're visiting a GNC, when they're at the pharmacy, they may have cause to think twice, and they can pick up the phone and call for those on the major league roster or anyone in the Mariners organization, pick up the phone, call the people in our high performance department, call the Players Association, and they'll give you an idea, an exact idea of what's on that list. And you know, it's probably what should have happened in this case, and it didn't. Like I said, you know, it was a mistake on Robbie's part, and we're going to have to deal with a penalty that we think is just. This is the JDA is a good thing, and baseball put it in place to govern the game, and I think it's been wildly successful in doing so. And we love Robinson Cano and understand that family members make mistakes, and when he comes back, we'll embrace him, and then we'll go forward and hope the best for the end of 2018 and beyond.
Do you know if he dropped his appeal before or after the injury?
No, I don't. I don't know.
Well, that one just seems the coincidence. You know, and the other thing, Jerry, I'm just sitting here, so I'm just a fan of the team. I just watched the team, and it made me mad. And I just look at this, and you're a general manager. You have to have a measured response and keep your wits about you. But I would think that, you know, I mean, you're sitting there going, wait a minute, I've got a 23-17 team. We're in good position here. We play 16 of our next 19 at home. All of these games are against teams with losing records. We're in a position to make hay here. And now this is on my plate, and I've got to deal with it. I don't know how you separate the human being element from the general manager element. I know that probably doesn't help you do your job, but I would think there's a part of you that's like going, are you kidding me?
I think your natural reaction as a human being is just the "Are you kidding me?" reaction. But fortunately for me, I've dealt with things like this before, and it's an unfortunate part of the game. We've dealt with it, you know, numerous times at the minor league level. I've dealt with it on occasion at the major league level, and you've got to find a way to move forward in a 162-game season and fix yourself on what comes next. You know, we are 23-17. We've played 40 games. That means we've got 122 left. And if we dwell on what happened on game 40 or what happened on May 15th, then we won't be able to recalibrate ourselves and focus on the long season. And I think that's something you learn through life in baseball is that it is a marathon, and you're going to stumble and you're going to trip, and there's going to be a mistake and there's going to be an injury, and you hope they don't compound, but you try to find a positive and you move forward. And awfully tough to find a positive about a guy testing positive for a banned substance, but we're going to try to turn it into a galvanizing moment for our team, and hopefully the 25 guys in the clubhouse feel the same way.
It's interesting, Jerry, and that's probably a bad word to use for this, but as we've talked about this today, Jim's been mad about it and feeling, I would say, disappointed in Robbie. I've looked at it and said, hey, it's a mistake that someone's made, and he's going to have to pay the price for it. And it's not like I feel that, oh my gosh, this is unfair, or like he's got to pay the price for that, but I don't see it in moral terms, or that, hey, this is some sort of huge failing. It was a mistake he made, and something more akin to a misdemeanor than any sort of felony. Your perspective, you played it in the league at the heart of what people look back on and consider the steroid era. What's been your opinion just in general on performance enhancing drugs in baseball?
Oh, I think it changed the way people viewed the game over the course of the last two, maybe three decades, but certainly the last two decades, and I think that's unfortunate. I do think that it is a minority of players that were using it, and unfortunately at the height of the steroid era, that might have been a minority by a very small amount, but it's most of the players who play this game play the game and they play it clean. I do think that the majority of players in the game today play the game and they play it clean. And I do believe that Robinson Cano, despite the fact that he made a mistake, is generally a player who loves this game, who's done it the right way through the course of his career, has never really created a cause for suspicion. And I hate the fact that the immediate reaction in these situations is just to cast somebody under the bus or start throwing all sorts of innuendo or idea around there. Human beings make mistakes. Robbie made a mistake. You know, truly a generation of baseball players made a series of mistakes that have put the public in position to grade these things or judge these things in a more jaded way. And I think that's unfortunate, but it is what it is, and we understand why. I'm just glad that baseball and the World Health Organizations have put systems in place that allow us to govern it in a better way and make the game as clean as it has become in these last 10 years or so, because I think it's a better place for it.
All right, I'm going to move on and away from this. Jerry, what the hell is this with all these other opposing pitchers beating our players? We're number two, and I actually looked at this. You know, you're number two hit by pitch, I think 23, 24, something like that. Last year, number four, and the year before that, number three. And is it planned, or do we need a good old-fashioned mound rush, you know, where we see a brawl on the field?
Dave's volunteering his services for that, Jerry. He'll come charging out of the crowd.
Yeah, hey, can you be like a designated brawler?
They don't.
Dave's
have those
a big fellow, yeah. And, you know, again, I can pull some money out of the cushions for that one if you're available.
But, oh, I'd do it for free. I'd pay you, Jerry.
There you go. Then it's definitely sold. We have, you know, we get hit by pitch. And I think in a weird way, a hit by pitch for a certain degree or a certain element of players is a skill. And we have a number of players that actually have the skill to be hit by a pitch. And, you know, it's oftentimes it is representative of pitchers or hitters who handle the pitch away from them particularly well. And we do have a group of guys that do handle that ball away particularly well. Mm-hmm. When you are that good at covering the outside part of the plate, you tend to be susceptible if people are running it in on you. And that's the case with us. And generally, when you have that opposite field power, guys like Ryan Healy, Nelson Cruz, Mike Zunino, etc., you're going to get pitched in a lot so they can stay away from the barrel of your bat. And when they pitch in that much and you are focused on covering the outer half, you're just going to get hit. And, you know, it's cost us a game here or there. Obviously, this one with Robbie, it's now moot. It was going to cost us something in the neighborhood of a month, you know, and that was rendered, I guess, obsolete earlier today. But at the end of the day, I look at it as long as no one's getting hurt, it's another base runner. And I particularly like when they get hit in the meaty parts instead of when it's happening above their waist.
Mike Zunino's great at that. He just turns into him. Jerry, we're always grateful for your time. And I want to say I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts about the topic in general and taking time on a day that it's not fun news for anybody. So thank you very much.
You got it. Not fun for sure, but you know what? We have to be socially responsible. We have to understand what this means to our team and to our community, both in baseball and otherwise, and just do the right thing. And I do think the fact that Robinson is moving forward in this way allows us to all do the right thing.